This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your pre-flight briefing for everything moving in the aviation world. Today, though, we're not chasing a headline, we're going to work a problem, because a video quiz landed on my desk from the folks at Bold Method, and the question it asks is deceptively simple. How much fuel do you need? If you fly instruments, you already know the honest answer is more than you think, and the regulation spells it out in a way a lot of pilots quote wrong. So let's fix that. Today's ATIS is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, here's what you need to know. When you file and fly under instrument flight rules in an airplane, the fuel requirement lives in Federal Aviation Regulation 91.167, and it breaks into three pieces. Say them out loud with me. Because this is the whole game. 1. Enough fuel to fly to your first airport of intended landing. 2. From there, enough to fly to your alternate if an alternate is required. 3. And after all that, enough to fly for 45 minutes at normal cruise speed. Destination, alternate, reserve. Now, here's where the video quiz earns its keep, because the trap is in that little phrase. If an alternate is required, whether you need to carry alternate fuel at all depends on the weather at your destination. And that test has a name that every instrument pilot memorizes. And then, somehow, half of us forget on a gray afternoon. The 1-2-3 rule. Here's how it reads. If, from 1 hour before your estimated time of arrival to 1 hour after, the weather at your destination is forecast to have a ceiling of at least 2,000 feet and visibility of at least 3 statute miles, you do not need to file an alternate. 1 hour on either side, 2,000-foot ceiling, 3 miles visibility, 1, 2, 3. Miss any part of that, and the alternate goes back on the flight plan, and the fuel to reach it goes back in the tanks. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though, because a lot of pilots stop right there and think the math is done. It isn't. Once you decide an airport qualifies as your alternate, that airport has to meet its own weather minimums at your expected arrival time, and those numbers depend on what kind of approach it has. If the alternate has a precision approach, an ILS or the like, you need a forecast ceiling of at least 600 feet and visibility of at least 2 statute miles. If it only has a non-precision approach, the numbers go up. 800-foot ceiling, 2 miles visibility, 602. 802. That's the standard alternate minimums, and they exist for a simple reason. Your alternate is your out. The regulation wants your out to be in better shape than the place that already went sour on you. So let's fly the whole problem the way the quiz wants you to. You're planning a flight to an airport where the forecast around your arrival is a 1,000-foot ceiling and 2 miles of visibility below 2003. So, alternate required. You pick a nearby field with an ILS. You check its forecast for your arrival window, and it's showing a 1,000-foot ceiling, 3 miles. That beats 602, so it's legal as an alternate. Now the fuel? You need enough to fly to your destination? Then from your destination to that alternate? Then 45 minutes of cruise on top of all of it? Add taxi, add takeoff, add the climb, add a realistic hold if the system is busy, and you can see how the tanks fill up in a hurry. This affects you if you fly IFR in the real world, in real weather, where a forecast that looked fine at breakfast is a different animal by the time you're airborne. And I want to flag one thing as opinion, clearly labeled. The 45-minute reserve is a legal minimum, not a personal one. It is the floor the FAA will not let you go below. It is not the number a careful pilot plans to land with. Weather moves, approaches get missed, you get held. A 1 hour personal reserve on an instrument flight has saved more pilots than it has ever inconvenienced. The regulation tells you where the cliff is. It does not tell you how close to stand. One more note, because turbine and jet pilots operating under different rules, the fuel math shifts, and the airlines run their own more conservative reserve policies. But if you're flying a piston single or twin under Part 91, 91.167, and that 1-2-3 rule are the words that keep you legal, and the personal margin on top is what keeps you comfortable. So the next time someone asks you how much fuel you need for an IFR flight, don't just say full tanks. Say destination, alternate, reserve, then tell them about the 1-2-3 rule, and then quietly add a little extra. Today's fuel problem came courtesy of the instructors over at Bold Method, with the numbers straight out of Federal Aviation Regulation 91.167. You can find more of what we cover at radiohangar.com. Run your own numbers before every flight, then run them again. This is Tower, signing off.